You have your major players, the big guys. Then you've got your personal favorites, your hometown heroes, and we've got these guys. Connor, Mackie, and Bernie are the rookies. Three sports fans left unsupervised in the studios of Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, bringing you a whole, literally new sports talk show. The Rookies starts now.
Good morning, Charlotte, and welcome to another edition of The Rookies. It is Panther game day, and Mackie, you know what that means, right? That's right. It is Panther growl time.
We just lost 75% of our audience.
Yeah, we did.
After that happened.
That's okay. 5 seconds. We still get the ratings. Joke's on you guys. So, welcome. It's me and Mackie right now. Les will be in here shortly.
We don't know where anybody's at.
No, we don't.
It's just us.
We don't. We do know that college football playoffs.
They did happen yesterday.
Well, they had implications yesterday. It was championship weekend. And, man, we had some great games.
First off, I remember turning on the TV and seeing, Big 12? And Baylor is leading Oklahoma. And they go into overtime?
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't believe that. I was expecting it to be a good game. I was expecting it to be a hard-fought game. I was not expecting it to go into overtime. I did expect Oklahoma to win, which they did. And that also goes to show Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts is a good ball player. I think he could be a great NFL quarterback if he is used to his strengths, if it's not one of those quarterbacks that just get thrown into a messy situation, which I know they've gotten 2 wins in a row, but that may be happening with Dwayne Haskins in Washington. He just kind of got thrown in. He's finding his feet a little bit, but it's still a little rough start for him. But Oklahoma and Baylor, that was a great game. It was a great game all around the slate yesterday, although some of the final scores don't really show it. The games were much better than what the scores ended up to be. But, yes, Baylor and Oklahoma Oklahoma won 30-23. Great Big 12 championship game. Jalen Hurts, like I said, baller.
And Les said it yesterday. It just proves that Oklahoma is good at winning close games.
Right, right.
I mean, what – I did not expect Baylor to make it that close of a game, but I was kind of hoping, wow, I kind of hope they pull this out.
Right. I mean, false hope will get you a long way, especially with TV ratings.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Les, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We had a great games yesterday. I was just talking to Mackie about that. We just talked about OU and Baylor. Jalen Hurts, one of those kids that transferred from Alabama and now is finding great success at Oklahoma. Another kid, Justin Fields, yesterday just went off, had 3 touchdowns.
Well, you knew that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and we were texting last night. Yeah. We were all texting last night.
I wasn't watching until you told me.
Right.
I hope y'all watching this
I
game.
I hope y'all watching this game because you seeing the best of what Whiskey had to offer. You knew it. You see what they were going to give you. And you saw we were running out. You knew it was running out, but it was a hell of a game. I loved it. But the inevitable came true.
It did.
And we talked about Justin Fields leaving Georgia. Was it Georgia?
He left Jake Brown.
To Ohio State. The same thing is happening with Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma. I mean, Jalen Hurts left Alabama, and now Hurts is the one in the college football playoff, and Alabama is not. And that's what I think is very interesting with Jalen Hurts as the quarterback of Oklahoma, a team that has been in the fight for the college football playoff for pretty much the whole season. And then a lot of things had to go their way, and yesterday the things that need to go their way did go their way. And now Jalen Hurts and Oklahoma, I think, will most likely be that fourth team in the college football playoff. And now, for the first time in the college football playoffs existence, Alabama's not even in it. So going to the critics that say, yeah, you're running from a competition, no, you got to do what's best for you. It's sometimes in life, you got to be selfish. I'm learning that the older I get. You got to do what's best for you.
Right.
You got to do what's best for the people that you care about. Jalen Hurts did that. Tua Tagovailoa, good quarterback, came in, bailed him out of a national championship rut, got Alabama the win in the national championship. Jalen Hurts gets a trophy in a ring. Tua gets a trophy in the ring. I've never seen – when you watch Jalen Hurts in that national championship game, he's one of the quarterbacks that goes straight to Tua, or one of the players that goes straight to Tua, hyping up, saying, I believe in you. This is what we work together. We're a team. This isn't me trying to get all the glory for myself. I just want to win. And right now, Tua, you're the best guy to get this win. Jalen knew that Tua was the guy at Alabama. They needed somebody at Oklahoma. That's where Jalen went. And now they're fighting. They're probably going to be fighting for a national championship.
And you see Jalen with all these workout videos after the game. Like, he's still hungry.
He does that every
week. That work ethic that you look for in a quarterback and a teammate. I mean, you want to go to battle for that guy every day.
You want to go to battle for that guy. You want that guy in the foxhole with you. You want that guy in the bunker next to you. But the thing is, now, you look at it, and I keep telling you guys, the craziest word in college football, transfer portal. Mm-hmm. You don't know what next year is going to look like. You see that, like, the landscape's changed. Jalen Hurts goes, Oklahoma's right back on top. Mm-hmm. You know, after losing Baker Mayfield, after losing Kyler Murray, boom, they're right back on top. So then you look at Georgia, they got a quarterback problem. Not that they need a quarterback, they got too many. Justin Fields said, I'm not going to get time. They're going to stick mm-hmm. with this guy. I might be a better athlete. I might even throw a more accurate ball. But they've won with him before. He's got him close enough. So we're going to stick with him. Transfer portal. To me, the main theme of this college football season has been the fact that one transfer portal can change direction, because you didn't see Ohio State here like last year. You didn't think they'd end up this far. Only team that you could guarantee was Clemson. Mm-hmm. The only team you felt okay about was Clemson.
And probably Alabama with Tua.
You felt good with Alabama and Tua, but then you saw what happened last year.
And their defense, man.
Right.
Where's that Alabama defense
gone? This is the first unsuccessful Alabama defense you've seen. But transfer portal. And missed opportunities. Like we said yesterday, guys.
Yeah.
Missed opportunities have led to so much, like, it's just destiny change. Because Baylor really could have pulled it off. Really could have pulled it off. Like, that's just the winds of change have been very, very fickle this college football season.
No, we've seen it in college football. You're right, transfer portal. One player determines the fate of one team and takes the fate away from the other. I mean, Justin Fields at Ohio State, Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma, both those teams are fighting in the college football playoff. It's crazy. It's just
transfer portal.
It's one player makes a difference, and evidently, and I'm pretty sure we could all assume this, it's mainly at the quarterback position.
Right.
And then Ohio State, you get Chase Young, and Chase Young, you know, they went through all that, I don't even know if controversy is the right word, but some stuff happened with Chase Young. He was out for a game or two, but Ohio State still was able, I mean, it's still Ohio State, but they were still able to win, so that way when Chase Young came back, boom, they pick up right where they left off.
In all fairness, I think they played Maryland and Rutgers when he was out.
I mean, true.
So,
but they won. Hey, wins a win.
Wins a win.
No matter, like, even though schedules are not tough for some teams and they're tough for the other ones, it doesn't matter. You beat who is in front of you, and that's what these teams did. You play to win the game.
I think the crazy part about it is just watching last night's game, the benefit of it all was having him on the field because he got triple team most of the game.
Yeah, so it takes away from
when
other
you
people.
See that, and you see some guys got sack happy out there last night, especially coming out of halftime, able to make the adjustments, seeing how they're gonna triple team him. Now you see other guys can go make plays because we're Ohio State. We're not gonna get one on ones across the board. So if they're gonna put three on that guy, there's gonna be some guys that's coming unblocked and some guys that's gonna get one on ones that normally wouldn't. And some of those guys are going to be in a combine this upcoming, May?
Yeah.
So that's special. Like, that's special when you can get one-on-one with guys mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
Even though he's getting triple team, he can't get his stats. You don't hear his name as much. Chase Young still made it an impactful moment and time on the game.
And that's what he said last week during the Michigan game. Even though I said yesterday he didn't register a tackle or a sack, he was definitely accounted for. And that's the reason why he didn't register a tackle or a sack. Everybody else was eaten.
That's the Aaron Donald effect.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's the Aaron Donald
effect. Anything like that. If you literally just take away an offensive lineman from another one of your defensive teammates, I mean, that opens up a plethora of possibilities what your defense can do by getting into the backfield just because you have two guys at least focusing on you, which means there's one guy not focusing on another one of your teammates, and you just got to exploit those gaps and exploit those weaknesses.
Those matchups, yes.
I do want to ask, what impressed y'all about Ohio State and Wisconsin? Because at one point, Wisconsin was up, 21-17?
Mm-hmm. At halftime.
Yeah, I was not expecting that to happen.
It was Ohio State's ability to come back, because I feel like most of the year, they've been just blowing people out, and we hadn't really seen them face that much adversity, and they were down by two touchdowns at halftime against a team that can run the ball, eat up clock, and keep Justin Fields off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't able to do that. Justin Fields came out, and he showed why he could be a Heisman contender. I know you said not this year because the transfer portal might hurt him. But
transfer
next year,
portal.
He could be the front runner for the Heisman.
This kid is just incredible. He will be.
And that's what impressed me the most to think about Ohio State. It's just their ability to deal with adversity yesterday, being down by 14 points.
Mackie, I think what really impressed me was second half adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
When you watched the game yesterday, the second half adjustment to me was they became Wisconsin. They became Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. What did they do to them that became ultra successful? They just ran the ball. They chewed the clock up on them. When you start looking at it, I don't know if you guys watch. Like, while I watch the game, I like to watch the game cast as well. I like to see that little football on ESPN or the Bleacher app, and they kind of bounce the show. When you start to see that 5 and 7 mm-hmm. chunk, you take away time. It hurts you when you can score fast 17, 18-yard passes downfield, but the difference is it bleeds your defense for later on in the game mm-hmm. when you start getting those chunk plays.
Just
first down every
ball,
two or three
when
plays.
You start to see that ball bounce, and it'd be like a rush for 2 yards, then a rush for 8 yards. You see, then you start to see defenses. I saw it in the midway through the third quarter. I saw Ohio State got the ball back, and they had their first opening run from the 35-yard line was a 9-yard run. So now I got to come back for second down. You're probably going to get it again. And you're going to get it the same way you just got it. You're going to get it again on the ground. You just keep – those are called body shots. When you see those body shots, you wear any defense down, especially if you spend enough time on the field with them.
And you know that better than anybody, Les, playing defensive line.
Yeah, and that's I look at it like this. If I'm playing defensive end or if I'm playing Sam backer, I want to be able to get after your quarterback. I want to be able to pin my ears back and fly. When it's a run play, we all know it's a run play. And we can see how guys tense up. You see how guys put their hands. You see their fingertip colors change. You see their body, like their body actual, the lean in their body change, the aerodynamics. And then you look up, you're like, damn, it's a run play. It's a body shot. I know what I got to do. So I got this gap and this responsibility. Half of this man all the way over here is mine. So I know now I just got to fight with this guy. Just so no one feels comfortable running through this hole. And like, that's the end of it. That's just a body shot.
You just want to get him to stop and adjust.
But if I do that enough times, you're going to wear me down. You wear anybody down. If I sit here and punch you tenderly in the stomach for the next 12 minutes, eventually you're going to be in pain.
That's true.
What impressed you the most, Mackie?
I was going to say, I mean, you mentioned second half adjustments, Les. At halftime, they were down 21-7. Ohio State comes out and scores 17 points in the third quarter. Jonathan Taylor was getting after Ohio State for a little bit.
True.
20 carries, 148 yards, one touchdown, a long run of 45 yards.
I like when you roll off them stats. Dude, like that. That's what I'm talking about.
Guy. It's a stat guy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Stat sheets and menus for Mac.
That's what I need.
Because
let me get some Kookaburra wings. Is that the right spot?
It's nice to provide some context rather than say Jonathan Taylor went off. Well, what did he do?
That's right.
Exactly.
I love that.
And so more stats. But on the other side with Ohio State, J.K. Dobbins, 33 carries, 128 yards, one touchdown. So it was just an attack on the ground. And I think Ohio State in the second half was able to chew off more clock, like you said, because even though Wisconsin did get the upper hand on Ohio State in the first half, like you said, they weren't getting those huge chunk plays. They were the clock was not running down as much as when Ohio State was running the ball in the second half. So I think it was just Ohio State's ability to come out and said, yes, we're ranked number one overall. We're losing at the halftime. But let me show you why we're ranked number one, because we're not done yet.
Let me ask you a question. It's just a little off topic, but still on topic a little bit. You guys, what would you rather see as a national championship? Like, what two teams would you rather see play? Like, who do you want to see in a national championship?
LSU, Oklahoma.
I want to see LSU, Ohio State.
LSU, Ohio State?
I'm a fan
LSU,
of
Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Oklahoma. LSU. I want to see Joe Burrow versus Jalen Hurts.
Okay. But that's okay. I get that. That's the battle of styles.
I get that.
Battle of offensive styles. How about you?
I want to see Ohio State and LSU just because those are two high-powered offenses. And LSU just absolutely,
a lot of points.
Speaking of LSU, they whooped Georgia yesterday.
On both sides of the ball. We knew that was going to happen.
I know, but on both sides of the ball, LSU just
looked really
impressive.
That's the part that caught me off guard. Whenever you see teams get dominated in the trenches on both sides of the ball, that's a coaching problem. That shows you a lack of discipline, and it shows you a lack of mental toughness. Like, Georgia lost 4-2 yesterday.
Yeah.
That's what's scary. What scares me is not that Georgia lost. It scares me that Georgia lost, and they lost. And you can't lose in the trenches. Because all that is pride.
And their own backyard, too.
Right.
I mean, that place is 70-30 Georgia fans.
Easily. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell y'all mine, and y'all going to laugh at me. I want to see Clemson and Ohio State.
Okay.
I hate it. It'd be the
I want to see it.
I want to see it because I just want to, like, that one, because the defense is neither defense is going to step up. So I kind of want to see.
You've got offensive. Two really good quarterbacks and running backs.
I just want to see that explosion.
Okay, to me,
I'm going to tell you what it reminds me of. Y'all remember the Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs game last year on Monday Night Football?
And what was it, 49-47 or something like that?
It finished 52-57.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want to see that type of offense.
All right.
No,
that's a fun way to watch a national championship, especially when you're not really a fan of either team. You just want to see good football.
Because I like Alabama, but Alabama's going to grind you up.
Uh-huh.
Halfway through, if they up a touchdown on you, you lost. Like, if they up a touchdown on you going into the third quarter, if they get the ball back, they're just going to chew you up. You'll never see the ball again. But when you get, it's college, they're kids, half of them going to be bagging groceries next year. Like, I'd much rather watch a highlight game where you see some kids and see some emotion and see somebody mm-hmm. happy, and it go down to the wire a la Vince Young against USC
in
2005. Like, I'd rather see that
right, yeah.
than to see, you know, than to see something like what I know Alabama, or getting hit with that red tie, that crimson wave is not as cool on TV.
Now, we mentioned it yesterday, and you asked us, you said, even though that Clemson has had a weak schedule and this year has been weird, you said, do you still find them a favorite in the national championship? I said, I still believe, even though they had a weak schedule, Clemson can compete and possibly win against any of these teams in the playoff. After watching the championship games yesterday, does that still hold true? Because I don't know. Like y'all said, LSU is so dominant on both sides. So dominant.
I'm going to tell you what's crazy. I want to ask both y'all a question. I had to ask you a question with a question.
Let's ask some questions.
But, yeah, this is what was the line yesterday? Do you remember what you said?
Clemson and Virginia?
Clemson
and Virginia. Well, that was 28-28.
Right. Do you see the final score?
Like,
they covered it double.
Right. That's all I kept laughing about. So the part, I don't mind. It's not that Clemson is a favorite. It's just that Clemson has done what they're supposed
to
do.
Yeah, they beat
outside of one game.
Well, it's what I said.
Outside of the Carolina game, they have dominated.
That's the one that you throw the record out for. That's the rivalry.
And it's what I said. Even though they had a weak schedule, you just got to beat who's in front of you.
Yeah. You just got to beat who in front.
They've been averaging over 50 points a game since October.
I'm going to tell you, that's type of emotion is like.
That's crazy.
That's how I feel when I watch it. When I saw it last night, I was like, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was looking like, what did they say? What did they say that line was? 28. Good God, man.
62 in a championship game? Insane.
Oh, my gosh. Well, before we move on to the Panthers, guys, I want to ask one big question. Does the LSU game yesterday have them jump Ohio State number one?
No.
Ohio State still stay at one?
Yeah, because that second half was remarkable.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you see a team that can put up points like that, that's crazy.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I didn't know with the dominance for the whole game for LSU, I didn't know if that'd be enough for the committee, you think, to jump LSU in Ohio State.
I'm gonna tell you why. The only reason in my mind why they can't jump them, because that switch exists. Like, for you to look at Ohio State and say they hit a switch that no one else hit. Mm-hmm, yeah. They were down that far. Like, normally in a regular game, that's lights out.
Right.
And they look like there's no way you can stop.
Yeah.
We've got another gear that you don't have.
So you think we'll see Ohio State versus Oklahoma in the first round, and then Clemson-LSU.
Clemson-LSU.
Okay.
Ooh. And don't be surprised if Clemson get LSU.
Absolutely. No, I wouldn't be either, but I've been riding with LSU all
LSU's
season.
A good team.
Tigers.
Have y'all,
go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Have y'all ever seen the Purge movies?
Of course.
All right. Have you?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry.
I thought about this last night watching the game. The committee does this. The committee does this. This will favor the committee. The College Football Playoff Committee, for those of you who have watched The Purge, reminds me a lot of the Founding Fathers in those movies. They hold so much power. Nobody really knows which one is which. And they have the potential to just ruin everybody's life at the single pen drop. It's crazy.
It's exactly what it's like.
It's
cut through.
You hadn't seen the movie.
No, that's what I'm saying. So you're just staring at me.
For the pause. No, But no, like, I get what you're saying.
If you watch The Purge,
I need to watch it.
Everything kind of comes down to the. You look at the committee, and like now, and
the Founding Fathers.
They tell you who's on the committee.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know who's on the committee, but the scary part about it is you don't know how it's gonna shake out. That's why I was texting y'all last night. Like, we really don't know how this is gonna shake out. The seedings with this is so crazy. Oklahoma goes in. Like we said yesterday, mm-hmm. Georgia bounces out. That's obvious.
Yeah.
But the seeding for this can be anything. Because any one of these teams, there's no Alabama team that's the dominant guy
right.
where you look like they could roll downhill on mm-hmm. anybody. Any one of these teams can beat anyone. This is a very parity-filled playoff, and I love it.
You feel like this is the best playoff we've had so far in the playoff era?
Yes, there's no Oregon in there.
It's just because of the difference in it, like the separation
the competition
of teams.
Is fairly equal.
Yeah.
Right.
The competition is equal, but it's just also some names that you haven't heard in the college football playoffs in the last few years.
Four great quarterbacks
yeah.
on each of those teams.
I mean, Oklahoma's a constant. But Alabama's not there this year.
Right.
Georgia's not there this year. Like, the legacy teams, like, this is LSU's first time, right?
I believe so, since the playoff.
In the playoffs.
Since Jamarcus Russell, this is the last time they've been in the national championship.
Right.
Jamarcus Russell.
I didn't realize that.
It's been a while. This is a new dance for them. They get to experience something different.
But Coach O is going to get them there. Don't worry.
I know we're talking Panthers later. But coming back to the great quarterbacks in the game, remind me to bring that up later on when we're talking NFL.
So okay. App State plug, man. I'm telling you.
Oh, it's
right
not going to be an App State plug. By the way, App State won the Sun Belt Championship game yesterday. You know
they
I have to say it.
Mackie has to say it. We're going to be right back.
I've never wanted commercials more.
We're going to be right back here with the rookies on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. We're going to talk a little Panthers, and we're going to go around the NFL and talk some primetime matchups, so don't go anywhere. Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
Go get them, boys. The rookies are back on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
And we're back. Fox Sports Radio Charlotte, 94.7 FM, 1660 AM, and 103.7 HD3. It's the rookies, man. I'm so happy to be back here with my guys. I got Bernie, Feel the Burns, Brian up in here, and I got my boy Mackie. Mackie's sitting here nestled very, very tight in his Christian McCaffrey jersey. Mackie, where are we going this week, baby?
You know where we're going. We're going to go to Atlanta. The Carolina Panthers are taking on the Atlanta Falcons, but let me tell you this. The Panthers' defense has been struggling both in the air and on the ground. The Falcons come into this game leading the league in most passing yards per game. The Panthers only allowed the Falcons to get 54 yards on the ground last week, but they still could not find their way into the end zone. And for back-to-back home games, the Panthers lost to two win teams at home, both letting up 29 points to both the Redskins and Falcons. So I'm going to tell you this, Les. Ooh. The Panthers need to go into Atlanta because the Panthers are only 6-18 as a franchise in Atlanta. They need to get a win. They need to play some mix-up when it comes to the NFC South because they need to ride in to the final game of the season against the Saints with some kind of momentum. Because I want the Panthers to ruin some playoff hopes. If the Panthers aren't making the playoffs, I want them to ruin the hopes of others so that way I, as well as other fans of other teams, could sit here in depressed mood, just sitting here, just realizing that we're both sitting on the couch in December because both of our NFL teams are not in the playoffs.
So we have 40 minutes left, Mackie. Do you want to keep going? I mean, you could you could probably finish the 40 minutes.
I ran out of breath.
That was like a wrestling promo for me.
I had no idea where. I was just waiting for one of y'all to say stop. None of y'all did it.
No, keep rolling. My guy cut a promo.
Did you mention that the Panthers have lost 7 of the last 8 in Atlanta?
I have not, but I just say they're 6-18, so that's kind of inferred.
That is inferred.
We have not been good in Atlanta. Let's just go ahead and say that. Obviously, we got embarrassed last time at home, 29-3. Absolutely embarrassed.
That game is worse than the Redskins game. I'll say that.
Because the Redskins game got someone fired.
That is true.
A guy I work with said the Redskins are so bad they got two coaches fired this season.
They got two coaches fired. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
He's a Redskins fan. So he was liking that win.
Bless his heart.
But I think the Redskins' worst loss, just because at least the Falcons had the stats to back it up. Their offense was still really good.
And at least the Falcons have the studs. Like, this guy's on that
Washington,
side. Right.
With a rookie quarterback.
With a rookie quarterback.
And a 34-year-old Adrian Peterson.
He's
175 years old.
Think about this. The jersey trade was Adrian Peterson
and
Christian McCaffrey. Like, if that doesn't bother you somewhere in your soul, like a guy that was playing with this guy's father.
Yeah.
The jersey trade with, and they won.
And they won.
I almost wouldn't want to do a jersey swap if we lost.
No.
I know they're all friends and stuff, but I'm like,
they're not
salty.
It's more respect.
It's not even that.
Really?
That's a principle that was adopted by the NBA. The NBA started that they promote it. You know, the NBA, they promote the jersey swap. You see that happen after every game. Even if it's guys that you don't really care about playing. Like, you see some guys swap jerseys with Carmelo Anthony just because it's Melo. But in the NFL, it became common practice after the NBA did it. NBA guys are closer. And you got to remember, it's only 450 of those guys. So you can get everybody in the league's phone number in one phone.
You're not beating them up on the field every Sunday.
Like, I don't want to fight everybody after I finish playing. So at the end of the day, you kind of look back and you say, hey, we're at a point as a team, as a franchise and as a city, where you need some form. Because right now you sound bitter. Mackie, you sound bitter right now. I just want to play spoiler. Since I can't have her, I don't want nobody to have her.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm a selfish dude.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
One of the reasons why I feel like we're in trouble today, guys, we have allowed 31 points in our last 6 games on average.
Hey, but you want to know 2 of the last 6 teams that we played? They were the 2-win Falcons and the 2-win Washington Redskins.
That's true. So that's just one thing that bothers me. And Atlanta has a blueprint on how to beat us with Kyle Allen. You shut down the run. You rush the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Make Kyle Allen uncomfortable. He threw 4 picks, no touchdowns last game. And I understand a lot of that was trying to play catch up because we were down 17-0 at halftime.
Yeah,
hit the calories.
Right. So, you know, I'd love to see them establish the run early. This offensive line has got to step up today. They have been our biggest weakness outside of turnovers. That offensive line has just been garbage.
And I wouldn't say for the whole season, though. I thought the offensive line played a pretty good first half of the season.
Played a lot of tomato cans early on.
Right. And the last, I don't know, 7-8 weeks, our defense has just been a shell of itself.
Yeah. True.
And that's even weird. Against Tampa Bay, Shaquille Barrett racked up like 3.5 sacks.
No, Barrett did go off
against
us.
There's teams that have really exposed
like
our offensive line.
This is acceptance. This is your acceptance.
Oh, I've already accepted it. That's why I want to play spoiler. Right? But for reference, but we talked about, or Bernie, you mentioned how Atlanta has beaten the Panthers 7 of the last 8 times in Atlanta. The Panthers also.
Seven have let ace times in a row.
In a row.
Haven't won in Atlanta since 2014.
Yes. Yeah, and that 2014 game, I was about to say, for reference, the Panthers haven't won in Atlanta since they won the NFC South title in 2014, the last game of
the
season.
That was the 15-1, was
yeah,
it not? No,
it wasn't. No, it was the year before that.
Because we lost to the Falcons in the last game of the season, 51.
And the Panthers won 34-3 to win the NFC South title. Mm-hmm. Then the next year was that one loss before the Super Bowl.
Right.
When Julio Jones caught for like 300 yards, I believe that was that game.
That was in the beginning of the season, I believe.
Oh, okay.
We had Benet Benwickery, and he got cut after that game.
Either way, the Falcons are the only, up until this past Saints game, the Panthers' record against the New Orleans Saints as a franchise ever since 95 is 25-25.
Right.
So right now, technically, in the NFC South, the only losing record the Panthers have is against the Atlanta Falcons, and they are 18-31 against the Falcons ever since becoming the NFC South rivalry that they have become already.
It's just a trip down 85. We see fans from both sides go travel pretty well to both games.
That means a lot.
It does.
That means a lot.
I think, and with Cam Newton, that's his hometown. Like, so that, the Panthers.
That means a lot.
Yeah, the Panthers Falcons rivalry has been a lot because it's a homecoming for Cam Newton. And if you're a Falcon fan, most likely you're not the biggest fan of Cam Newton because he's playing on your biggest rival. And so right now, when those two teams meet, the fans get into it. The atmosphere is up there. But this season, I'm not really sure what to expect in the Mercedes-Benz Dome in Atlanta.
It's. I give you a perfect example. It's every time Isaiah Thomas return back to Chicago. He's Chicago's favorite son. But when he go back home to go against Michael Jordan and the Bulls, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
When Cam Newton, I've been on both sides of it. I've been here to watch it, mm-hmm. and then the Atlanta fans come up and take over, and I've been down there, and those people got on Cam Newton high school jerseys, and they booing him, but they love him because he's one of their favorite sons.
Yeah.
But when you playing our Falcons, even though we never win, we're never successful, we have no rings, they take it personal.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go down there and see it, I'm like, well, he's calling a blender. Like, it's the worst.
Yeah.
It's the worst pick and roll. It's worse than Stockton and Malone. It's the worst pick and roll you can ever find. When he goes down to Atlanta and his family is sitting there, and he's got to roar his family, a whole family section, and people are behind him like, we love him, but we hate y'all guts right now. You might not make it out of here safe if you beat us. And they go after his mom. Like, it's serious. It's serious, but it's their favorite son, so I know it's so much. It was already, from the days of Michael Vick, it was already a heavy rivalry. With Jake DeLome, it was a heavy rivalry.
It really
with
was.
Steve Smith fighting those guys.
Yeah.
He was fighting, y'all remember that. He was fighting their DBs. Steve Smith, it was a rivalry then. But it's when you got one of theirs here,
mm-hmm.
it's a whole different, like it adds a different level of pressure.
Do you think there's going to be any difference in the game plan today with Perry Fuel? Or do you think we're going to
– it's
just what it is.
I think he came out in an interview and said scheme-wise.
I knew that was changed schematically.
Yeah,
4-3,
yeah.
You're going to go back to 4-3, you think?
Schematically, if you want pressure. You can't stop Julio, right?
Right.
So the only way to stop him is you got to put pressure on Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And as you saw during the Thanksgiving game, Matt Ryan will choke it. He'll give it to you. You just got to knock him off the square.
If you've seen the injury report, there's a lot of guys that are nicked up, only a couple guys that may be out. But Alex Mack is one of those guys that controls the entire offensive line, one of the best centers in the league.
Very true.
If he's nicked up, that's a big problem. I know Gerald McCoy is going to play today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what Gerald McCoy can do. I've seen him show up a couple games this year, but he's been fairly absent, I feel like, for most of the year.
Do you think that acquisition has been a bust thus far, or are you standing behind it?
That signing?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say a bust right now.
What did we sign him for?
I don't know the actual contract.
1 year.
It was 1 year, like $1 year, like $8 million.
I think he's done more good for us than he has done bad. I mean, because I think overall the whole defense has kind of been a letdown. But also with the names on this defense, why are they ranked in the 20s in a lot of these defensive categories?
Because those names just go on paper.
But
you know, every year is a variation. Like, I don't know. You, some years you can be better, some years you can be worse. If I write the name Richard Sherman on paper, the year he leaves the Seahawks, that name don't mean as much. It's just you living out the name.
Sure.
But the last 2 years he's been with San Fran, he's been stellar because there's variations. You're going to get different variations of a guy from game to game.
Yeah, but if I'm looking at the roster on defense, you tell me
on the front line of the defense. We have Gerald McCoy. We have Kawan Short's injured, but then we all behind him we have Brian Burns, who this is one of the changes I want to see with the Panthers. Brian Burns needs to play. I don't know why Brian Burns has only been getting 30% of the snaps, but he has some of the most tackles on the team when he's playing. He is up there in the league when it comes to sacks. He has played a little under 400 snaps, and I think he has like 7.5 sacks on the season. Those are the same numbers with 200 less sacks than Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald. Granted, Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald are getting double-team, triple-team sometimes, but Brian Burns shows productivity when he's on the field. He has been battling a wrist injury. He has been battling a calf injury from the preseason, but when he's healthy, I don't understand why he's not on the field. We put him in at gunner on one of the punt returns for Washington Redskins. No, but on defense, I want to see Brian Burns in.
Well, he can get it. I mean, he can run.
Mm-hmm. No, he pissed somebody off.
You think so?
Yeah.
In the doghouse? I think that's one thing we are going to see from Perry.
Punished. That's called being punished.
What, being put on gunner?
Yeah, when you go like, when you see guys, like, of course, you know it's only so many players on the team, so you have to fill out the spots. Mm-hmm. But then there's guys where they're valuable, so you kind of shield them from being on special teams because of the most crazy injuries.
Right.
Knees, shoulders, mm-hmm. hips get torn
out.
You're
just running into each other 20 miles per hour.
Exactly. So you kind of want to spare those guys because they mean a lot to me. They might not be a starter, but there's somebody I know can come get me a bunch of sacks or somebody can get me some quarterback pressure. I kind of protect them. So that's a discipline issue. That's somebody trying to teach them a lesson.
I think that is one thing you're going to see today with Perry is young guys playing. He's going to get some different guys. And we, I don't know if you guys saw, we brought Greg Dortch up from the practice squad.
Right.
I
think I'd love to see him get some. Good receiver from Wake Forest.
Right, absolutely. And I'd love to see him get some returns because when he did play, aside from the one I think he muffed but caught it or recovered it, he had some pretty good returns, kick returns, punt returns, and the kid can fly. So I think that's something you're going to see with Perry. I don't know if we're going to see Will Greer in the last 4 weeks. I think he's going to ride with Kyle for at least maybe one more week. If Kyle has a rough game today, I could see Will Greer coming in next week.
This is what I wanted to bring up with the quarterbacks. So early on in the show, I mentioned a lot about how I don't want Will Greer playing a snap this season. Mm-hmm. That was before Cam was put on the IR. That was before it looked like Kyle Allen will be the starter for the rest of the season. With Kyle Allen playing the way he has, I believe the Panthers have lost 5 of the last 6, 4 of the last 5, something like that. Offense not really producing much. Or if they do produce like they did against Washington, they just shut down in the second half. I don't know how it will be with Perry Fuel. But if Kyle Allen and the Panthers lose this week, do you want to see Will Greer? I do, because like I said, I'm going back on my word. I said I don't want to play in snap. But at this point, we picked Will Greer, third round, 100th pick. You have a quarterback-stacked draft class coming into this NFL draft. I think the Panthers need to know what their third-string guy who they picked at pick number 100 has in the regular season before going into this draft, especially if the playoff hopes are gone, and especially if Kyle Allen gets another loss. Kyle Allen, he got off to a great start, but right now he hasn't been playing great football. Granted, he was a backup. Cam Newton's out. A lot of things have been surrounding this organization outside of the football field. We get that. But going into this draft with the talent coming out of these schools, I'm not saying the Panthers are going to get Joe Burrow. I'm not saying they're going to get Jalen Hurts. But who knows? We never know how far some of these players fall. But I would like to see what we have from Will Greer before going into this draft, because we've seen some from the preseason. I wasn't too impressed with Will Greer's performance in the preseason, but that's preseason. After sitting for most of the season, I don't know what he's learned from the coaches. I don't know what he's learned from Cam, Kyle Allen. But we need to see something.
I'm going to tell you, Bernie, and this is what you wanted. You wanted it, and this is what you're going to get. You're going to get a four-game audition. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, that's dope. If you got Perry Fuel in there and you trust him to be able to weed out some of the guys who don't pay attention, some of the guys who are less disciplined, some of the guys who are not going to work on their craft, this is what you got him for. You got him for a four-game tryout. You got him for guys. You bring up guys from the practice squad. You bring up guys that you want to see get some game time. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's almost like another preseason.
I was just about to say that.
Because now you get to roll guys out and see what they're capable of going into next year. And if I'm David Tepper, I'm so happy. I'm so happy because I get to put my imprint and my image totally onto the team. If I keep Cam Newton, but I build everyone else around him, then I control it. I get the product that I want on the field, and I can start getting some of the players that we need in here to be successful as a dynasty or long-term, as a program instead of just being a ball club or a team.
The snaps are important, right. I think, like what you said with Will Greer.
Right.
I would like to see him. I would,
yeah.
Especially if Kyle struggles today. Mm-hmm. I think we know what we have in Kyle. He could be a pretty decent backup, but he's not going to be a starter for any team in this league.
I would say he could be a starter for
you
a team.
You think so?
I think he could.
A team that could protect him?
A team that, if he could just shut down on the turnovers and throw the ball away.
That's honestly what it is. And that sounds so much easier to say than it is to do. But that's his biggest weakness right now is just giving the ball away.
When he's had time in the pocket, you've seen Kyle make some outrageously awesome throws. I mean, the kid can sling the ball.
I'm just saying, with this team, I don't think Kyle Allen could be a starter on this team.
I agree.
But no, there are plenty of other places in the NFL that have signed way worse quarterbacks this year.
That's absolutely true.
I believe Kyle Allen could be a better quarterback for Pittsburgh right now, even though Duck does have a win under his belt. And I could see Kyle Allen. I could see Kyle Allen going to the Dolphins or going to the Bengals right now. He would be better than Ryan Finley behind Andy Dalton, I believe.
Oh, don't slander Ryan Finley now, okay? Don't you slander Ryan Finley.
I'm comparing him to Kyle Allen. That's not slander.
Well, last six games it might be. Last six games it might be slander. The first four, that wasn't bad.
I just want to see what you would say.
So we've got predictions today, guys, and I don't want to be a homer less. I'm going to pick the Falcons. I think the Falcons get the win today at home.
Wow.
They continue that streak. Listen, the Panthers
don't,
have.
Mackie, don't fight.
The Panthers,
don't fight. I can't believe he picked me. The don't fight.
The Panthers have just looked rough the last six games, and they haven't shown me anything. I keep picking them, and they keep losing.
They keep losing, Les. They showed you something against New Orleans.
Well, maybe they'll prove me wrong today and win, because every time I pick them, they do the opposite.
Okay.
I'm scratching my head. Because the only thing that I want to base my prediction on is hard to predict. And that is...
A divisional game?
Well, yeah. But that is, will Kyle Allen throw an interception?
Man.
Will he? Every game Kyle Allen does good, or the Panthers do good, the Panthers don't just give the ball away. But then, against the Redskins, Panthers are on a drive. Redskins score. They get some momentum. They punt it. Put the Panthers on the goal line. First pass play. He throws an interception inside their own 20. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you're telling me that the Panthers can't win this game if Kyle Allen doesn't turn the ball over? They can.
That's sad, man. What, like, you? That's morbid.
How is that morbid?
You just basing it off.
Off a quarterback?
How many picks has Kyle Allen had in the last five games?
Yeah, like, you're basing it off, can we survive?
Come on.
He has 11 picks in the last six games.
You're expecting Kyle Allen to just flip the switch and all of a sudden he's going to be like he was the first five games.
He did that against the Saints.
But
that's exactly what he did against the Saints.
Our defense still gave up 34 points. That's what worries me, is our defense.
Let's just say this, though. For that specific game, we only blame the field goal kicker. We don't blame nothing else but the field goal.
How about the six tries we had to get inside the?
You're telling me if I were to tell you that the Panthers scored 31 points, you're telling me that the kicker, like the Panthers don't win that game. If I could give you one score and I could say the Panthers will score 31 points, will they beat the Saints? What do you say?
Well, it's the Saints.
I say no.
The Saints can always put up points.
Still say it's true. If the Panthers had 31, I would think naturally in my mind
the Saints have 42.
45.
Saints got 45.
That's how my mind works.
Now, realistically, I want Kyle Allen to flip the switch, but now y'all are bullying me into change my picks.
No, you
got to stand
I'm
by
messing.
It.
I'm basing it off of how many
I'm messing.
I never made my pick.
I just said I'm scratching because that's going to be the deciding factor.
You did. You're scratching.
And I don't think
don't think he'll flip the switch. So I think the Falcons will win like 28-14. I really think
I think it'll be a close game, but I don't think.
But now I'm just nervous about what Les said yesterday. Like, what if Fuel comes in here and just wins?
And galvanize the guys.
That's what I mean.
What I hate to do it to you guys. I'm gonna go ahead and take the Carolina Panthers, man. I mean,
you know how many times he's called us Homer in the last 2 weeks.
But he's not really a Panthers fan.
I don't care at all.
But I'll be honest with you, I'm gonna take the Carolina Panthers just because the coach got fired.
You think so? You think they'll rally around Perry?
No, this is such a Panther thing to do now. You fire a coach, you're in the running for a draft
pick.
And
then they win the last four games.
And then you go 4-0.
You can mess up your draft pick.
And so you get the pick number 21.
Right. Like, I'm 100%. I'm riding with the Panthers on this one. And Perry Fuel is going to galvanize where's Connor? He's going to galvanize the boys. And we're going to – some special's going to happen. I'm telling you. I'm serious, though. I'm taking care of life.
We're going to get a text from Wes saying, I hope y'all watching this game. Oh, the Panthers going to be up 20.
Bernie, you better tell him I'm good for it. I'm good for it. The Texas guys. Go ahead.
Go. You guys are listening to The Rookies here on Fox Sports Radio. Charlotte, you can catch us on 94.7 FM, 1660 AM. We'll be right back. Talk some NFL games around the league. And we're going to have some fun with it. Yeah. Don't go anywhere. Be right back.
Now back to the rookies who are still here on Fox Sports Radio Charlotte.
Welcome back to the Rookies right here on Fox Sports Radio, Charlotte. Bernie Bowles, Mackie G, Wes Bless in the studio with you right now. We just got done talking to the Carolina Panthers. By the way, if you miss any of our shows on the weekend mornings, you can catch them on FoxSportsRadioCharlotte.com. Just go to the Rookies page and click on podcast, and we're right there in a podcast form. We adapt to all mediums when it comes to audio consumption.
Medium like a psychic person?
Okay. And also be on the lookout for we're gonna start up a Rookies podcast with your homie Les Bless. Real soon, we're just going to talk. We're going to give out hot takes, whatever daily topics. If we can get it in, we're going to be doing podcasts on it because we always want to get to it.
I was trying to think of a different name to add you to the Rookies, and yeah, I was thinking about that. You know that musical, Les Miserables? I can never say that.
Les Miserables.
Yeah, yeah. What?
Les is the most cultured person in this room.
Yeah, no, but see, why don't we just call it Les Rookies?
Les Rookies.
But we just got the talking Panthers and Falcons. We just got the talking Panthers and Falcons, and we can't forget Bernie's cousin Brandon Bowles is in the studio listening in
today.
Shout
out to Brandon. Brandon, thanks for joining us.
What's up, baby? Everybody got the B&B name in y'all family?
No.
That's, you talk about a lazy
just
family.
Me and Brandon.
Brandon.
Just me and Brandon.
Hey, and Bernie.
If they're listening right now, my second family, they're the Greens, and they have four kids. Names all start with a P. Peyton, Parker, Paxton, Presley.
You know, I'm going to go ahead.
I'm glad they
don't
listen,
like, but I'm
telling
you, like that.
When you talk about two parents that are like, you know what, we don't have time. We got to raise them. Let's just, what can we think
just
of?
Just go with a P.
They did a good job raising them.
Let's just keep it real simple.
But we just got done talking Panthers and Falcons real quick. A contract extension was given out to another Panther player. This time, Shaq Thompson, 4-year, $57 million?
54.
54 million
guaranteed.
No, I don't clap for that.
I like the deal. I think
Let's
Shaq,
talk about
I
that
think
real quick.
Outside of our defense playing really rough this year, I think Shaq has played
don't
well enough
me,
to
Mac.
Get an extension.
Mackie, don't ask me.
Hey, Wes.
Mackie, don't ask me, man. It's going bad. I'm telling you now, it's going bad.
Should I ask him?
I think you should ask him.
Hey, Wes,
ask
how
him.
Do you feel about Shaq Thompson's contract extension?
For the franchise, I feel like it's wonderful. For the player, I think it's terrible.
Why do you think it's terrible for the player?
Because whenever you renegotiate in the middle of the season, you take less money than you actually deserve.
Because you don't find out what you're worth on the open market.
They're trying to get you out the way now while they can.
So that way other teams aren't bidding on.
That's right. Because once you peek your head out and you just saw, so what does that break down to? 54 at 4. So that's over
20.
That's over $10 million a year.
28 guaranteed. So that's total.
That's gonna be.
I'm a comm major. I'm not good at math, y'all.
It's gonna be like 12, 13.
Yeah, that's six. But that's $6 million a year. So if you said 26. You said 24, 28.
28 guaranteed. 54,
so that's $7 million a year guaranteed.
54 overall.
54 overall.
So many numbers.
No, I mean, that's a solid stand-up, but then you realize, like, that guy on the market, that number that he's getting per year.
He'd probably get mid-60s,
not guaranteed. Right. On the open market, he would probably get, for 4 years, he would have got $48 million guaranteed. Somebody would have guaranteed him that 12,
yeah.
And then he would have went out and got more bonus incentive money. So he would have ended up at 60. A guy like Shaq Thompson, who's still incredibly young as well, and he's already proven and established as a playmaker. That guy goes out on the open market and gets real money, mm-hmm. Not what we gave him. We gave him something just so he never reaches free agency.
Well, I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
I'm okay
as a franchise, as a supporter of the franchise, I support the player. So as a supporter of the franchise, then yes, you should be out. You should be over the moon because you got a great player. You're able to hold on to him. We're able to hold on to him, and then at the same time, he's able to give you what you know what I'm saying? He's able to still fulfill your
needs. No, I think Shaq Thompson is a very good pickup for the Carolina Panthers. I've always enjoyed Shaq Thompson. I think he's a second leading tackler on the team this season. I think he's a good teammate with Luke Kuechly. You know, it was that Thomas Davis-Luke Kuechly combination. Now I think it's Luke Kuechly-Shaq Thompson. So I'm excited for it. Four-year, $54 million.
I think they still miss TD, though.
Oh, definitely. I think he's leading tackles over there in LA too.
Guys, we have a very special guest on today. It's a longtime caller. Big Cat, you there?
Okay.
Big Cat, are you there? Big Cat?
I hear him.
Liam, are you there?
All right, maybe not.
Hey, Liam, are you there? Try to call us back, Big Cat. Try to call us back.
This is why we don't take call-ins, Bernie.
we gotta take call-ins, man. That's what make it cool. There he is.
Bye. Liam, you there? Big Cat.
I can hear him on his phone.
I can too. All right, well, we'll try again later. But, so Panthers and Shaq Thompson. I like the deal. I know it's not great for Shaq, like Les said.
It's not a player-friendly deal. I mean, you get your money, but it benefits the franchise, though. You're able to go sign more pieces.
So overall, I think we all agree that Shaq Thompson is a good contract extension for the Carolina Panthers. I think we're going to try the phone one more time. It's all a learning experience here in the Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. Big Cat, what's up?
Big Cat, you there?
I think we should just can it.
Man. All right, well, sorry, Big Cat. I'm sorry. We can't get it to work right now.
Yeah, everything on our end's good. So I'm going to blame it on Big Cat. Sorry, Big Cat.
We're going to move around the NFL, though. Talk Dak Prescott.
I was going to say, yeah, if we're going to talk about contract extensions, one of the questions I texted Bernie this morning.
That was the question?
Yeah, I was going to. So why can you ask questions less, but then when
no,
I want to ask
I'm
a question,
not
I get.
Yeah.
Well, you seem like a disappointed father with me.
I am disappointed.
Because just that's nice.
I am disappointed.
I never know what to do when someone I look up to looks at me and says, I am disappointed.
I am disappointed. So, but you got to tell me.
But I was going to say, do we think Dak deserves that big payout? Because that was a huge thing before the season. Does Dak deserve that payout, even though the Cowboys are in contention to win the NFC East, but they are 6-7? Zeke just got a big payday, not performing well. On the Rams side, Jared Goff, Todd Gurley just got a huge payday.
DeMarcus
They're not doing
Lawrence
nothing.
DeMarcus Lawrence
got a payday.
Got
I mean,
100.
It's 100. I didn't know it was 100.
Yeah, right at 100.
But do you think Dak deserves the contract that he was asking for before the season? I think it was, what, $40 million a year? Willing to take, what, $36 million a year? He wants to get paid more than Russell Wilson.
No hometown discounts. No hometown discounts. No.
So what do you think?
Yes.
You think?
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Outside of Cam Newton, who you going to find better?
Nah, man, I don't know.
So then, if I got you. Or let me go to someone else. Because if you franchise tag me, I'm going to Kirk Cousin you. That's right. You're going to give me $20 million a year until you decide to take the franchise tag off. You're going to give me more money than you ever planned on giving me. You're going to give me my salary, and you're going to give me a $20 million kicker.
Dang.
Then that's what franchise tag means. Franchise tag means you're going to pay me my salary, and you're going to give me some more money. And it's bad. You go think about it like this. What do you think the top five – Bernard, what do you think the top five salaries in the NFL are among quarterbacks? Like those guys, what does that number equal up to?
It's got to
– that number's swift. Like, that number's like $37, $38 million.
No, yeah, because Russell Wilson just got paid. Jared Goff's getting paid $34 million a year. Kirk Cousins is getting paid almost $30 a year. Who else? I'm trying to think. The top paid quarterbacks in the league are the quarterbacks that you won't think are going to be the top paid. Matt Ryan might be up there, right? Because didn't he get an extension after 2016?
Right, Matt Ryan and Matthew Stafford.
Matt Stafford got a huge payday.
Yeah, so you got that type of money. That type of money's out there. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get the top five average? That guy's going to come out with about $36, $37 million a year anyway if you franchise tag him. So then you're going to have to really pay him. He's used to making it.
It's just crazy because right now I'm assuming Jason Garrett's gone after this season.
I think that's a pretty astute assumption.
A pretty good assumption. I mean, I don't know what's going on because it's Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones has some kind of love affair with Jason Garrett. Exactly.
Well, I mean, you know, they love each other.
But with Dak Prescott and Zeke, I don't know. Dak, I've been watching more of the Cowboys one because as a football fan, it's kind of hard to avoid them because they play on primetime every week.
Right.
But, I mean, I haven't been a huge fan of Dak until this season. I mean, hanging out with Q and talking to Q, of course, it's gonna rub off on me a little bit. No, yeah. But, like, I watch it past the bias. I want to see what he's got. I'm impressed with Dak's play, but is it $40 million a year kind of play? I don't think so. But at this point in the NFL,
it is not. Do you think Michael Conley is the best player in the NBA?
I do not.
It's not what you're worth.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you can negotiate.
It's what somebody's willing to pay you.
It's not what you're worth. It's a business. You
yeah, you're right. It's a business.
It's what I can negotiate.
We're going to try one more time. Big Cat, can you hear us?
Big Cat.
Big Cat, are you there?
I think we should just can it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Big Cat. It's a massive failure. I can't get the phone to work.
I mean, everything's working. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
so.
Zeke
is not the guy, I don't think, that we thought he was.
You don't think Zeke? I don't think Zeke is a bust. I think Zeke is just now rolling into midseason. He's rolling into midseason form. Like, when you got that guy that's just now getting to midseason form, then I don't know. Like, you just catching up. He's playing catch up, and he spent all the preseason in Cabo. When they got his contract in, he came in and it was game week.
Mm-hmm.
So he spent all his time in Cabo. What you gonna say to him? He's still catching up. Everyone is 2 months ahead of him.
Yeah, and I believe Bernie said that he hasn't topped over 100 yards rushing in a game in the last five games.
And football shape is something that people don't understand. Too long away from it, and it does a number on your body.
Well, because it's not just running like basketball. Like, right. Basketball, you got to be physical down low. Like, right. It's, basketball is much more physical than it appears, not compared to football. But especially, I am amazed at what you did at the in the trenches, the defensive lineman, the offensive lineman, because you're basically exerting all of your energy because you're running around the field, but also you're trying to outpower another 270, 300-pound man right in front of you. And that alone will take away so much energy from you. And that's when it comes back to that football shape.
Right.
It's more than just cardio and being in shape.
I was explaining to Connor. You remember last week, Bernie, Connor was like, I think you were at App State.
Mm-hmm.
And Connor said,
I didn't bring it up that time.
He said, when you go to a hockey game, those guys, the boys skate for 60 minutes. And I looked at him and said, I'm going to tell you the difference. He said, guys only play football for about 12 minutes of actual game time. And I looked at him and said, so for 12 minutes, like off and on periodically, I'm just going to hit you. I'm just going to keep hitting you. And we're going to be real close. We're only going to be 2 or 3 feet away from each other, and I'm going to hit you. And I'm going to hit you.
As hard
and
as
I'm
going
to hit you. I said, after a while, I said, I want you to do that over the period of an hour. We're going to do that. I'm going to even give you 15 minutes in between. I'm going to let you have some downtime, but I promise you I'm going to hit you for 12 minutes.
I've heard it's like an NFL game is like getting in a head-to-head car crash, going 60 miles an hour.
But imagine it. It's for guys. Like, I'll tell you the difference. When I played defensive end, that car wreck was real. It was like a head-on collision.
Mm-hmm.
When I played nose guard, those guys, you had to hit them, so you're a little more handsy. You're a little more body bouncing. When you're coming off a defensive end, you're taught to build up a head of steam. So your first contact with an offensive tackle or a fullback is a collision compared to contact. It's a collision. So you feel it a little bit differently. So I can understand that totally. Like, it lays on the body. It lays on the body tremendously.
Yeah, and when you're in the preseason, I feel like those snaps that you get on your body where you kind of get used to the hits.
Right.
Zeke didn't really get that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of coming in late. But the last five games, he's just behind that offensive line, too.
This team has so much talent to be 6-7.
Yeah, right. They really do.
And that's what's frustrating. But
crazy to think they're still first in their division. It almost feels like the NFC South a few years ago.
Yeah,
when Panthers won 7-8-1.
That's what I was saying. I don't say really nothing about the NFC East because the Panthers 7-8-1 won the division. There is one game I want to talk about. It's the next up on the rundown. It's also in the NFC South. New Orleans versus San Francisco.
Yeah, it's a good game.
This could potentially shake up the NFC playoff race. This is a huge game for New Orleans if they want to have home field advantage for a second straight year. I will go ahead and say this. I'm a fan of Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees is one of the best in the game. Hall of Famer by far.
Dude, that doesn't bother you, though.
What?
Because Drew Brees only got one championship. When people talk about how special he is, he's done a lot of regular season winning.
No, I mean, same as Aaron Rodgers, yeah.
He's done a lot of regular season winning. And I just don't understand, like, what makes him so special. Like, the stats are there. But is his stats better than Dan Marino?
I was just about to say, Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl.
And he never won a Super Bowl.
No, but
Jim
like,
Kelly went to 4 Super Bowls, so that's but, consistent
but Drew Brees,
pattern.
But exactly, but Drew Brees has a Super Bowl at least, so he's accomplished
so does,
the greatest goal.
So does
goal.
Trent Dilfer.
Yeah,
oh.
I mean, there's going to be an argument like that for every player. He has a Super Bowl, he doesn't. This
right.
player barely played.
So does Rob Johnson.
But you're telling me when you watch Drew Brees, you're telling me he's Trent Dilfer or whatever you said?
No.
Trent Dilfer got it done the same amount of times.
Trent Dilfer also had a great defense and Jamal Lewis.
But Drew Brees also has the most passing yards in NFL history,
it.
Right?
He could have blown it.
Because Jared Goff blew it.
I just think it's funny how Dilfer has his own thing called Dilfer's Dimes.
But yeah,
that man has not thrown a dime
but
in
Brees,
his life.
But Brees has his own. Brees has the most passing yards in the NFL history, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I think that's it. As a quarterback,
who's
to have the most passing yards, I think.
But were they successful passing yards if it only led to one Super Bowl?
One Super Bowl, but how many times has he taken the Saints to the playoffs?
How many rings did you get for playoffs?
That's what I'm saying.
Show me the banners.
But he's proving that he is a good quarterback that has his team in competition with other playoff caliber teams.
Aaron Rodgers has only won one Super Bowl.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And Aaron Rodgers is in the argument for the GOAT. No, he's not.
No, he's not in the argument.
No, it's Tom Brady.
Not anymore. But yes,
hands
definitely
down.
Tom Brady. But with New Orleans and San Francisco, I was going to say, although I believe Drew Brees is one of the best, my personal belief, quarterbacks in NFL history, this season, I don't think the Saints offense is anywhere near what people want this offense to be. It's not anything like last season. Kamara, I mean, he's averaging 6 yards a catch. He is not really being utilized on the flats like he was last year. And also, I'm not even going to say that this is a high-powered offense. I just think this offense just doesn't make mistakes. When you give them the ball, they're not going to give the ball away. Going into the Panther game, they had 6 total turnovers. That was the least in the NFL. They had one interception in that game by Trey Boston, so 7. I don't know how many turnovers they have now, but I'm going to assume that the Saints still have the least amount of turnovers in the NFL.
if you need to, as a quarterback, that's something you want to do. That proves a good quarterback. You don't give the ball away. So although you may not score on every possession, you may not get a field goal, you're going to move the ball down the field. You're going to take time off the clock. You're not giving the ball back to the other team. And going against the San Francisco defense, who gets takeaways, who is one to be feared this year, it's going to be, I think, the biggest test of the year for Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints.
And listen, Drew Brees is the king of checkdowns. Like, that's what, when I hear people say he plays mistake-free football, I always think about the fact that he's the king of getting it to the running backs. He's the king of getting the tight ends and the flats. He's the king of hook routes, out routes, down routes. Like, you see him with those not-so-dangerous routes, quick, hard, outside comebacks. Like, those are hard routes to intercept if I don't know you're running that route off the top. So I kind of look at it and I see, like, he plays it safe. It's just special when you see Drew Brees go downfield and throw that deep ball. Then mm-hmm. that matters to you.
Nah,
but it doesn't. Drew Brees doesn't stick out to me as the guy that throws. Like, even in that Super Bowl when they beat
the
Peyton Manning, mm-hmm. when they beat Peyton Manning, all I remember, more than anything, I remember the interception. More than anything, I remember the interception.
Peyton's interception?
I remember Peyton's interception yeah. that he threw. I remember the onside kick that gave them another opportunity with the ball. Like, that's what sticks out to me more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a play that Drew Brees made that stuck out to me. Like, he threw that heroic pass or that Joe Montana, Tom Brady pass. I see it, like, my memories of Drew Brees, not for that Super Bowl, but in his career, has been the times he's come up short. Like, it's the times, like, not that he came up small, but the times where he just couldn't get, like, Donovan McNabb. He just couldn't get you over the hump. Mm-hmm. He made great plays to get you there, but he just couldn't get you over the hump. That's what sticks out in my mind.
I think whenever you just look at the numbers at the end of the day.
Right.
And that's what they vote on in Hall of Fame. I mean, mm-hmm. Drew Brees is going to be first in passing, probably.
He will be.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to get him in the Hall of Fame alone, just the numbers.
Right.
But I hear what you're saying, Les, and that's a great point. Drew Brees has never – nothing comes to mind when I think of Drew Brees in terms of amazing comebacks or how he's just crazy down the field. He does. He checks the ball down a lot, but he makes the smart play, Mackie, is what you were saying.
Well,
he makes the smart play.
In the NFL today, it's like 3-point shooting in the NBA the last couple, ever since Steph Curry came into the league and started taking it over. I mean, running back checkdowns is the way NFL is going.
Right.
No matter what you want, it's why do we have to let the talent at the running back position only be on the ground?
You get positive yards.
Exactly.
And that's where we're at in the NFL.
And although Drew Brees does check down, although Drew Brees does take these short passes, I mean, he doesn't give the ball away and he moves the team down the field, and those short passes evidently lead to a win. I mean, in the last 2 years, Saints have one of the best winning percentages in the league. I just think that Drew Brees overall is a great quarterback, and even though he's not making huge plays, even though he doesn't have these crazy comeback wins, he doesn't give the game away. And in a quarterback, that's one of the first things I'm looking forward to,
Yeah, that's what Tom Brady's foundation is built off the fact that he was an outstanding game mm-hmm. manager
mm-hmm.
until he got to the point where he felt comfortable. And this was 10 years down the line in his career where he felt comfortable making those heroic throws or those dimes. So when you look at it, like I can see that Drew Brees' career is built with that type of foundation. But as far as, like, when I see people talk about how exciting he is or mm-hmm. how much he's the GOAT, like, I disagree with that.
Okay.
It's just not a popular opinion.
Yeah, that's where you're coming from. I do want to move on real quick to Kansas City and New England, since we did bring up Tom Brady.
Game of the week.
Game of the week.
Ravens, Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to tie this into the Ravens, Buffalo, because I have a good friend, Sarah. She's a huge Ravens fan.
Hey, and Sarah, I love you.
And she said, do you think that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens can beat Tom Brady and the Patriots? But in the playoffs, like in the AFC Championship, if Kansas City doesn't make it. And in my head, I said, of course I think they can. Yep. I think Lamar Jackson is it's an explosive offense. I don't think they will.
I do.
Nothing in recent history has shown me to count out Tom Brady in the AFC Championship.
That's not true.
Well, Bill Belichick,
when the Ravens won the Super Bowl, they beat Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game
in
Foxborough.
Yeah, in 2013.
The year before that, we went right there and we lost on the field goal. 2 years before that, in the divisional round, we lost to him off of a drop pass. Like now, Baltimore as a whole has Belichick and Brady's number. The problem is not that. The problem is, what part of the game can they isolate and take away from us? So if they take away our running back running the ball, then the difference would be what Lamar Jackson can carry the whole game, hand and foot.
The only thing that worries me is that when the Ravens did beat the Patriots earlier, Bill Belichick got a pretty good idea of how they run their offense, what they do, and he is a master at making adjustments and tailoring his game plan to other teams. That's the only thing that worries me. But I think the Ravens will win the Super Bowl this year.
And like
that's
Mackie
how good
was saying,
I think they are.
My fear is now Kansas City. Like, I don't know what Kansas City you're going to get. 7-4 is just a scary record. I think they could come out of anywhere. And I never bet against Pat Mahomes. I never bet against that type of guy that can throw that type of ball.
I will say this.
And that's what you were talking high about, yeah, Kansas City.
Yeah, I will say this. If the Patriots lose today, they will be 0-3 against AFC division leaders this season.
Yowza.
Texans, Ravens, and then now the Chiefs.
That's a good stat.
And I will say this.
Mackie with the stats tonight.
I need to know Mackie's stat guy, man. That's
and I need to know where you get these stats,
yeah,
Mackie.
No, now.
So he's going to not. No, okay. Nah, that's like a secret recipe.
I'll show you all after the game.
Okay.
But, or after the show. But I will say this. I did say to Sarah, this is where I was going with it, that I don't see anything that will keep Tom Brady out of the AFC championship and all that stuff. I think this game will determine it right here. If the Chiefs beat him, that messes up the little AFC playoff race a little bit. The Chiefs will be riding some momentum because the Chiefs are what, 7-4, 8-5? 7-4. That's not for the Kansas City
Patrick
Chiefs.
Patrick Mahomes is not playing Patrick Mahomes football, and their defense has been awful this year.
And right now, I think they're relying too much on Patrick Mahomes to make those magic plays we were seeing last year. It's a lot of, hey, just run around in the backfield and try to throw it 65 yards downfield. But this game is huge for Tom Brady because a lot of people are saying that Tom Brady may be on the decline. And that may be right, but with a player like Tom Brady, I need to see it before I hop on that train because we've been hearing for the last couple of years Tom Brady is no longer going to be who he is. He just won a Super Bowl last year, so I mean, and that's what I'm saying.
But right now he's just
right now he's not
he's being carried.
He's being carried.
You just see him. He's just sitting in the front of the parade waiting.
And who do they have? Who do they have on offense? If it's not
like Mohamed Sanu.
No, but if it's Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, Chris Hogan, or Gronkowski, they can't keep a receiver that's not Edelman. Josh Gordon, Mohamed Sanu, what has he been doing? They don't have a rushing attack. Michelle, I don't think, is nearly one of the best running backs in the
league. He's had a sophomore slump like Kamara.
No, it's just offensive. They don't have a lot of weapons to where it was kind of just Tom Brady had somebody on either side. Now it's more relying on Tom Brady, and it's not really working out for him.
Very true.
So we'll see. I think this is an exciting game.
That's the one thing about quarterbacks. They fall off.
Yeah, we have great games this week. Great games. If you're watch every NFL game you can this week. We got Buffalo and Baltimore, Kansas City, New England, New Orleans, San Francisco. We can't forget about the Carolina Atlanta game.
Yeah, that's
number one game of the week, baby. But yeah,
I'm surprised they didn't flex that one.
They should have flexed it to Sunday night. It'll be an exciting day. Perry Fuel will get his first game as interim head coach. I'm excited to see what happens. Also, we have a great game over in the NFC West, Seattle versus the Los Angeles Rams. But I'm pretty sure that'll do it for us today. We are the Rookies of Fox Sports Radio Charlotte. The podcast version of this show will be on the website in T-minus 8 minutes on FoxSportsRadioCharlotte.com. Catch the Rookies every weekend morning from 10 to 11 right here on 94.7 FM, 1660 AM. For Bernie's cousin, Brandon Bowles, for Wes Bless, for Bernie.
I'm Smurfette, my girl Smurfette.
And for Mackie G, I'm saying I am Mackie G. We are the Rookies. Have a good night.